Pizza.
Pizza?
Pizza!
Hungry for some pizza now? Yeah, that's what we thought.
Get yours at Domino's Hawaii. We deliver aloha.
This podcast is sponsored by Kapili Solar Roofing, building peace of mind one roof at a time. Kids City Adventure, Hawaii's only indoor luxury playground. And Long's Drugs. Download the CVS app today and make Long's a part of your day.
And welcome to This Is Now. We'll begin with breaking news. The FBI has arrested former Punahou basketball coach Dwayne Ewen on federal charges.
Yeah, the offenses are related to the possession of child sex abuse material. Now, Ewen was previously accused of sexual misconduct by multiple people, including Punahou alumna and MMA star Ilima Leigh McFarlane.
She was one of several plaintiffs who filed suit in 2020 against Punahou, alleging Ewen groomed her and her sister and sexually assaulted them when they were minors.
You know, he's a master manipulator, and if people believed him, you know, I really can't fault them too much, because that's what abusers and predators and groomers are professionals at. They're professional liars.
Hawaii basketball standout Shaunalei Kuʻehu also came forward with similar misconduct allegations.
Young women, young girls, they have authority figures in their lives who groom them and who, you know, make them feel that they cannot come forward. And it's too scary to go against any authority figure. And that's definitely what Dwayne Ewen was here when, as a basketball coach. As a basketball coach in a program that, you know, kind of encouraged silence at the time. Ultimately, it was almost impossible for the girls to come forward. So, and I can only speak for Shauna, it was an impossibility that she couldn't overcome when she was the tender age of 15. So for her to finally have the strength to come forward, you know, when she was almost 30, is still incredible.
Those lawsuits involving Ewen were settled out of court in 2021, and he was never charged. Ewen, a former DOE employee, continued coaching various basketball teams and was still doing so as of 2022. Meanwhile, McFarlane has a message to other victims.
My message to them is just come forward if you're ready. We're going to be here for you no matter what. So it doesn't matter if you come forward today or in the few years, or if you never come forward, it's okay, because it's all in your own time. And it's when you're ready to share your story and speak your truth. But we got you. And this guy is going away and can't hurt anymore children, women, anyone anymore.
The FBI is now asking other potential victims of Ewen to come forward and contact them as the investigation continues. Now to an update on yesterday's attack outside Mililani Walmart. The attempted murder investigation is ongoing, and police are trying to figure out why 46-year-old Desmond Kekahuna allegedly struck a woman with his vehicle. She was pushing her six-month-old baby in a stroller at the time. Police say Kekahuna then got out of his car and began to beat her nearly to death. She was hospitalized with critical injuries. Kekahuna was arrested at the scene and taken to a hospital. The baby was not hurt in the ordeal.
Albert Ian Schweitzer spent 23 years in prison for the murder of Dana Ireland. Last week, lawyers with the Innocence Project successfully argued that he was wrongly convicted using new DNA evidence. In fact, they proved he had nothing to do with the murder at all. He joined us this morning on Sunrise, along with Kent Lawson of the Hawaii Innocence Project.
Prison itself must be incredibly hard.
Yes.
But to be there for 20 years knowing that you didn't do it, and knowing that the public thinks you did.
Right.
So what got you through those two decades?
I think my faith, number one, and promise that me and my mom made to never give up.
How important was that love and that support and having somebody there that was going to keep you confident and keep you focused?
Whew. Very important. Very, very, it's real.
Yeah. The last few days leading up to the time when the judge exonerated you for this murder that you were accused of for so many years, can you tell us what that was like, thinking that you could be on the brink of being a free man but not being sure that it was going to happen? That must have been so difficult to handle.
Yeah, you know, it's nothing's guaranteed, you know, but I knew I had an amazing team behind me. I knew I had all the evidence. And I felt really good that I had a just judge.
The Hawaii Innocence Project will be holding a fundraiser tonight called Fight for Freedom. It will feature Ian and also Amanda Knox, who spent 4 years in an Italian prison for a murder she did not commit. It starts at 6 tonight at Cafe Julia at the YWCA's downtown location. You can watch the full interviews at HawaiiNewsNow.com.
Attorneys for alleged crime boss Mike Miskey are trying to get his trial moved out of Hawaii entirely. They argue that the jury pool will be tainted, partly due to all the media coverage of Miskey's alleged crimes. The charges range from murder to racketeering. In court filings, his attorney specifically complained about extensive coverage by Hawaii News Now and our partners at Civil Beat. They say Las Vegas is a better option because fewer people know about Miskey outside of Hawaii.
The death of Tyre Nichols at the hands of five Memphis police officers has put renewed pressure on the Biden administration to pass legislation on police reform. Nicole D'Antonio has the latest from Capitol Hill.
At the National Prayer Breakfast Thursday, President Biden referenced Tyre Nichols and his family.
Justice is long overdue.
Wednesday in Memphis, Vice President Kamala Harris made an impassioned plea at Nichols' funeral for restarting negotiations on federal police reform. Congress started work on a bill after the death of George Floyd in police custody, but it's been stalled for a year and a half.
We demand that Congress pass the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act. Joe Biden will sign it.
The legislation aimed to, among other things, limit unnecessary use of force, restrict the use of no-knock warrants and chokeholds, and limit qualified immunity, which shields officers from many potential civil lawsuits. That last measure met resistance from Senate Republicans.
The president and vice president are meeting this afternoon with the Congressional Black Caucus to figure out how to make progress on the bill. But with Republicans now controlling the House, the legislation faces a steep uphill climb.
I don't know that there's any law that can stop that evil that we saw.
With the Floyd bill stuck, President Biden signed an executive order on police reform for federal law enforcement last May, and more executive action may be on the table. But the White House concedes there is no substitute for federal legislation. Nicole D'Antonio, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Now here at home, HPD is also taking a closer look at their practices and policies in light of all the discussions surrounding police reform. Daryl Huff has more on HPD Chief Joe Logan's recent meeting with the police commission.
How is it that they can act so quickly in Memphis, but our process goes on for so long?
We can take action, in other words, is taking somebody off the street, taking away the badge and gun and putting them in an administrative position until adjudication of the incident.
Commissioners compared the Memphis case to the 2021 police chase and crash in Makaha that caused multiple critical injuries. Officers suspected of causing the crash and covering up their involvement are still under investigation on desk duty with city paid attorneys 17 months later.
They've acted very quickly on their incident. We're nearly a year later and we still haven't got a PSO response on that, and it just seems how incredibly different that is.
Yes, the incidents are severe, and we have to, one, think of the community. We also have to think of our officers too. Are we taking action that is too drastic?
When it doesn't get resolved, I think it hurts public trust. It makes people question whether or not, you know, what's really going on.
To make sure that we've tied all the investigative components together, crossed all the T's, dotted all the I's to make sure that we've done a thorough investigation. Unfortunately, that takes time.
The commissioners were also concerned about how many officers ended up fighting their punishment through union grievances and some being reinstated. The chief said he would have to work with the police union, SHOPO, to see if there was any way to streamline the process. Daryl Huff, Hawaii News Now.
Wildlife experts may have discovered what killed a 60-ton sperm whale that washed up on Kauai. Casey Lund has the story.
Aloha from Marine Corps Base Hawaii. We're here at the UH Health and Stranding Laboratory. This is a really important space for marine sciences in Hawaii. And I want to talk to the director of the UH Health and Stranding Laboratory, Dr. Christy West. Dr. West, we're talking about that whale that washed up on Kauai's south shore, 60-ton, massive, really beautiful animal. And that happened Friday afternoon. You guys responded to that. And then now we're starting to get a little bit of a more in-depth look about how it may have died. Can you tell us what we're looking at here at this table?
Yeah, we're looking at marine debris that was recovered from the stomach of the whale, and we do believe that this likely led to its death. So there's some evidence that it caused a blockage. And we have lots of other prey remains, lots of squid beaks, fish skeleton. So the animal was actively eating for quite some time, but not able to digest that food. And so we do think it's likely that this marine debris really did lead directly to its demise.
Can you talk a little bit? You were there on site. It was DLNR, the county of Kauai, you folks and NOAA. What is an operation like that when you're really dealing with the physical remains of that whale? It's a huge undertaking, I imagine.
Yeah, heroic. Heroic effort. And really would not have had the opportunity to examine it at all without all of these partners coming together and really making that happen. This initial work at the time of necropsy on Kauai, where we try to do as much of an examination as possible, and it's really partial because of the immense size and those logistical limitations, but we collect samples from all major organ systems, and those come back to the laboratory here, and what Connor's working on is really screening to see if there's any evidence of viruses and bacteria that we know cause a problem for whales and dolphins in Hawaiian waters. And although we believe the cause of death is related to the marine debris, we're also looking for evidence of those pathogens to learn more about that potential threat.
Dr. West, I appreciate you guys sharing a little bit about this, educating folks and reminding us that we really can do better when it comes to plastic waste. And I want to talk a little bit about that. Marine debris specifically, DLNR has a hotline and an email address that you can report marine debris like fishing nets and other plastics, other waste like that. And NOAA has a hotline as well for reporting marine mammals and other sea creatures that are in distress so that they can respond appropriately and take care of those the way they should be handled. We want to send you to HawaiiNewsNow.com for all that information. Reporting at Marine Corps Base Hawaii, I'm Casey Lund for now. We'll send things back to you.
Well, there's a new way to help NOAA keep track of Hawaii's green sea turtle population. The agency unveiled an online platform that allows the public to report when and where they've seen honu. Previously, this was only done through phone calls or emails, but the digital portal allows for residents to quickly provide updates. The count helps NOAA better understand the state's turtle population and their movements. We have a link on HawaiiNewsNow.com.
Well, this year marks the 60th anniversary of the Merry Monarch Hula Festival, and it's the first time back with no COVID restrictions. For more on that, we welcome our Mahealani Richardson. Aloha, Mahea.
Aloha, Dylan.
Yeah, so tell us about what can we expect in terms of preparation this year.
Oh, well, Dylan, I just got off the phone with Auntie Luana Cavelu. She is the festival president, beloved treasurer of the Hilo community. And she says that there's going to be an announcement very soon about the Ho'ike tickets. That's the Wednesday night of Merry Monarch. So the announcement hasn't come out yet. But this is really important for the Hilo community because to get those Ho'ike tickets, you have to buy them at the Civic Center Auditorium box office. So that's great news for the local community of Hilo.
Yeah, and in terms of the actual nights of competition themselves, what are we expecting there? A packed house is normal?
Oh, absolutely. You know, last year it was a limited house, so not as many people. But this year, no COVID restrictions. All of the events are back on. So, of course, Miss Aloha Hula, Kahiko Night, Awana Night, it's all there. And the list has just come out on the Merry Monarch Festival website. The 23 Hello have been named. So, of course, you're going to see some newcomers and the usuals, the beloved halau that we love every single year.
Yeah, that's one of the questions I want to ask you. Is there any standouts on that list right off the bat?
Ooh, you know, it's hard for me to pick just one, you know, because we want to be fair. But one of the halau that I'm really interested in is Napua Greg's halau. That's halau nale kaumakauka. And you know, she has not been at Merry Monarch for the past couple of years. You know, for the halau, it was really difficult to participate because of all of the COVID restrictions and the quarantining. And so now this year, halau are just so excited to be back and to be part of the culture again.
Yeah, I also personally, as a Kauai boy, we are excited to see Halau Kale Mokihana Ole Na'ala out of Kauai. They won last year. Overall, swept their category. So I'm definitely excited to see what they are bringing this year.
Yeah, your purple lay, Dylan.
Yes, of course. Final question for you, Mahea. What is the overall excitement feeling leading up towards this year's Merry Monarch?
Well, you know, people are especially excited. And, you know, one different thing about Merry Monarch this year, and I think a lot of people don't even realize, it's an entire week long of events. And so, of course, Merry Monarch, all about the fashion. And this year, there's going to be a holoku ball on the Sunday before Merry Monarch. That's Easter Sunday. I don't think the actual information is coming out yet. But, you know, all of that will be announced. Of course, you've got the shopping and all of the events and side parties. And so a really important event. And so I've got to go find a holoku. I don't have one, so I got to go get one.
Well, I know you have some amazing dresses in your closet already. Mahealani, thank you so much for this. And for those of you wondering, if you didn't get in your ticket requests on December 1st, I'm sorry, guys. They're already sold out.
Oh, yeah. Real quick, Dylan. Yeah. So the tickets are just starting to be mailed out. Auntie Luwena told me she's starting with the foreign locations first. So these are locations like Germany, Pongo Pongo, Hong Kong, you know, those kinds of locations. You're just sending out first because they have a lot of travel arrangements to make. But if you sent in your ticket request by, you know, December 1st was the date, and you sent in your cashier's check like we all did, you should be getting your tickets very soon in the mail.
Very, very soon. Our Mahealani Richardson for more on all the Merry Monarch fun. Mahalo nui, Mahea.
Aloha.
An update on Honolulu parking meters. The city has come up with a way to ensure motorists pay the fees while technology upgrades take place. About 1,700 parking meters can now accept payment through a mobile app called Park Smarter. Previously, officials said impacted meters throughout Honolulu would be free for about 6 months due to software changes. These meters are mainly in town from Chinatown to Waikiki, and they'll have special stickers on them. Parking fees remain the same, and coins are also still accepted.
Let's take you outside now for a live look out over Honolulu. I believe that's actually Kaka'ako area. It is a nice and cool 79 degrees and a beautiful day here in Hawaii, but some more wet weather, could be on the way. For more, let's send it over to our guy Hagi.
Fairly dry today, right? Not much rain today. But watch what happens later tonight into early tomorrow morning. You know, this disturbance comes in. There might be some heavy rainfall for Kauai and Oahu as early as 3 a.m. And then by tomorrow, 6 p.m., we'll see more widespread showers, especially for Kauai and to a lesser extent Oahu on the windward side. So for the Puno Carnival, might be a little bit squishy. Now, Saturday morning, wet, and we're talking most windward areas, but most areas on Kauai and Oahu. Again, we could get heavy rainfall, maybe some isolated thunderstorms for Kauai and Oahu. 6 p.m., still pretty damp, but by Sunday morning, things will be significantly drier, and we'll see, if anything, just a few passing showers after that. So again, we got to get through the wet weather tomorrow and again on Saturday. For Kauai and Oahu, again, especially, fewer showers, but still a little damp for the windward areas of Hawaii Island and for Maui.
Well, Sunday is music's biggest night as the red carpet is out for the Grammy Awards. Nichelle Turner has a preview of the festivities.
Aloha, Mark. The Grammys are always full of great performances and big winners, so let's start with one of the show's top prizes, Album of the Year, featuring their most nominated artist ever, Beyoncé. You break my soul. Fresh off the announcement of her first tour in 6 years, Queen Bee is looking to add to her record 28 Grammy trophies with a win for Renaissance, but she'll have to beat Adele's 30, the world's best-selling album of 2021. It missed Grammy eligibility that year, which is why she's facing off against Lizzo's Special. Her fourth Grammy win would have her singing,
I'm feeling good as hell.
Harry Styles will take the stage as a performer, and he's hoping to walk away a winner for his album, Harry's House. But only if he can top Swedish pop icons ABBA's Voyage, Coldplay's Music of the Spheres, Kendrick Lamar's Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers, and Brandi Carlile's In These Silent Days. A win would make her the first openly LGBTQ artist to win the prize. There's nothing in that
That is unfathomable to me. If I won that Grammy, I don't know what I would do. I would probably just get up there and cry.
Rounding out the category is Latin superstar Bad Bunny's Un Verano Sin Ti. This is the third year in a row he's been Spotify's most streamed artist in the world.
Spanish, a lot of people don't speak Spanish, but love my music. So I'm very grateful for that. Dima,
mommy. For Entertainment Tonight, I'm Nichelle Turner.
All right, it's time for some good news now. Mark, what you got?
Yeah, taking a look at what is being talked about. Now, this is something that, you know, doesn't really apply to us here in the islands, but it is still always fascinating to see each year the Groundhog Day festivities with Punxsutawney Phil. Now, Phil saw his shadow Thursday morning. That means six more weeks of winter. According to the legend, Phil considers his shadow an omen of more bad weather to come. Now, this is just a fun tradition here. Dates back to the 1800s, and he also doesn't have the best track record. According to the National Centers for Environmental Information, his predictions have only been right about 40% of the time over the past decade. Not the greatest batting average. Of course, scientifically speaking, winter officially ends on March 20th. But, I mean, just to see the festivities and the decorum that's involved with this, the outfits, the hats, the celebration, the grand gathering right there.
It's a big deal.
Always fun.
You know, I don't understand how they can say he saw his shadow or not.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah, and also, too, Punxsutawney Phil, secretly, like, a big animal. I thought he was like a little guy, but there's some weight to him right there.
He's holding up right there like the circle of life moment from Lion King.
The presentation of Punxsutawney Phil.
Kind of fun there. You know what else is fun, Mark? You know what day it is in Japan? Mm. Take a look at this. A town in Japan is celebrating Demon Day.
Uh-huh.
This is in the Kyoto region. According to local legend, demons once inhabited a mountain and were vanquished by warriors. Now, the lore has since become grounds for celebration, and there are events related to the demons throughout the month. So over in Japan, they got different celebrations going on there, but that also looks very fun and quite interesting, if I do say so myself.
Yeah, that celebration you're seeing right there is, I guess, is they take a lot of the elementary school students riding around in a taxi cab that has the images of the demon on there. And so, I mean, just the children really enjoy it. They get a kick out of the festivities. Some would say that the masks are really scary.
I think they're scary, yeah.
Looking up this tradition online, you get to see some really just elaborate images of the demons that are talked about. But it's cool that you know, the kids can embrace it, and it's something that can all really enjoy.
Definitely. Awesome. Let's also take a look at this, Mark. Do you recognize that? That is one of the original iPhones there, and it is a first-generation iPhone. It's going up for auction. Bidding for the what is being called the Apple Relic starts at $2,500, but its estimated value is, take a guess, Mark?
$3,000?
$50,000. Allegedly. That's what the script here says. It had a 3.5-inch screen, 2-megapixel camera, and up to 8 gigabytes of storage, internet capabilities, and more. Boy, has technology come a very, very long way. LCG Auctions is listing the item, and bidding begins Thursday evening and ends February 19th. So if you want a technology piece of history, go bid on it.
It makes me think back to the days of the iPod. I remember that. Where,
I don't understand how you guys navigated without a screen.
The music used to be separate from the phone. Now they just all are on the same device.
I love it.
Cool.
Really quickly, one more thing here. Reason for the lay here. This rounds out my first week here anchoring This Is Now alongside Mark. And this, of course, is, you know, in light of Jonathan's departure. I'm off tomorrow, so this is my Friday. Casey Lund is in tomorrow. But we definitely miss Jonathan. We thank him so much for all that he's built in This Is Now. And we also, I want to give a shout out to my high school teacher, Mrs. Iwohi, who gave me this lay on Monday. That's her right there. She was definitely a lifelong mentor. And so when she heard about this, she was so happy about the next chapter here on This Is Now. And with that, folks, I say mahalo nui for joining us and look forward to giving you folks the news from here on out.
Great Aloha. Week, Dylan. Congratulations.
This podcast is sponsored by Kapili Solar Roofing, building peace of mind one roof at a time. Kids City Adventure, Hawaii's only indoor luxury playground. And Long's Drugs. Download the CVS app today and make Long's a part of your day.
Pizza.
Pizza?
Pizza!
Hungry for some pizza now?
Yeah, that's what we thought.
Get yours at Domino's Hawaii. We deliver aloha.